Through these Sundays after the Epiphany, our scripture readings have focused on the revelation of Jesus, the manifestation of the full nature of the one who was born baby of Bethlehem. And through this season, we have learned the true nature of Jesus, including the revelation of his divine nature. These revelations began back at the beginning of the season on the Feast of the Epiphany itself with the visit of the wise men, the gift-bearing astrologers who come from the East and are the first Gentiles to worship Jesus. Then we heard on the Sunday following Jesus baptized in the River Jordan. The one without sin goes down into the waters with the multitude of humanity, with all those people who are seeking to turn their lives around, to reorient themselves to God. And at his baptism, we hear that voice from heaven proclaim that Jesus is the Beloved, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. Here we are today, the last Sunday of this season after the Epiphany, and we hear the final manifestation that we will hear in this time. In the Gospel, Jesus takes his disciples Peter, James, and John and goes up on the mountain. And while Jesus prays there, his appearance changes. His clothes become dazzling white. And then Jesus is seen talking with Moses, the receiver of the law, the great liberator who leads God's people out of slavery, and with Elijah, the prophet of God. And again, there's that voice, the voice of God saying that Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved, and telling the apostles to listen to him. Throughout Scripture, mountaintops are places where God is encountered. Mountains really are a kind of border between earth and heaven. On mountaintops, divinity touches humanity. People experience God's presence. We hear this throughout Scripture. Both Moses and Elijah go up a mountain and encounter God's presence. In our own day, we talk about mountaintop experiences, a time when something profound happens, and often that's an encounter with the Holy, a time when we experience God present. Whenever the divine is encountered, be it on a literal mountaintop or in a mountaintop experience, there's no doubt but that it's profound. And there can be a temptation to stay in that spot, to prolong that moment, to delay a return to ordinary everyday life. And we hear Peter expressing some of that in today's gospel. He tells Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It sounds like Peter has an impulse to enshrine this moment, to mark the place it happened, maybe to remain there a while, remembering that he and the others had a holy encounter. But also, I think it's important to see what comes next in the passage, because we're told that Peter did not know what to say. I have some sympathy with that. I don't think it's surprising that Peter doesn't know what to say. How could he begin to understand what he was experiencing? He sees Jesus become dazzling white. He sees Jesus talking with two prophets from ages past. They are long dead. And he hears a voice from heaven. What sense can he make in the moment of that experience? It really is only after the death and the resurrection of Jesus that this mountaintop experience will begin to make sense to Peter and the other two. It's then they will begin to understand what they experienced that day with Jesus. They are glimpsing Jesus as he is. They are glimpsing his glory as the Son of God. They see Jesus in dazzling resurrection light. They see Jesus in his divinity. They see Jesus revealed in his glory, his true full nature as the Messiah, the beloved Son of God. But on that mountain that day, they get only a glimpse. They see just enough, I think, to set their hopes on. Because indeed, they have to move on from that mountaintop and on to difficult experiences. They must go down from that mountain and head with Jesus to Jerusalem, to that city that kills the prophets, the city that will kill Jesus. And so Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, to the cross, and the disciples go with him on this difficult road. They are heading to that time when Jesus will be betrayed, tortured, and crucified. Jesus will die on the cross not for any crime or any sin, but because he refuses to give up living by love. And then on the third day, God will raise Jesus from the dead to the glory that is his. Jesus is raised to that glory that he desires to bestow on humanity. We hear in our collect this language, we are changed from glory into glory. The desire that we share the divine life of God. But just like Jesus, we only come to the fullness of God's glory by walking the way of the cross. Like those disciples, we too must journey to Jerusalem. We must follow Jesus in the way, trusting that his way is the path of true and abundant life. We must follow him through the waters of baptism, where we die to sin and rise to the life of glory. The only path to sharing the glory of Jesus is following him in the way that he goes, his way of love, his way of the cross. Each year on the Sunday before Lent begins, we hear an account of the transfiguration of Jesus. It is a reminder of where we are headed, where we follow Jesus. It also reminds us of the glory in store for us, but that we have not yet arrived. There is still the challenging road ahead of us, a road that we don't always want to walk, a road we don't always faithfully walk. And to help us recommit to this journey, to following Jesus in his way, the church gives us the season of Lent, that period of 40 days to reorient our lives to God, to focus on that journey towards the glory of Jesus. Now, I won't lie to you, when I was younger, I was no fan of Lent. I hated Lent. It seemed to be a very long, dreary season with so much focus on my sinfulness, on my unworthiness. But thanks be to God, as I grow older, and it sure has helped becoming an Anglican, I am having a new and deeper appreciation for this season. And I got to say, the last few years, I actually see this season of Lent as a real gift. Because Lent is not a time for us to feel bad, to think we are unworthy. It's not a time to punish ourselves. But it is a time to be honest. To be honest about where we are in relation to God, to our neighbor, ourselves, and the whole of creation. Lent is a time to renew our commitment to follow Jesus where he leads. It's a season to adjust our vision, to be sure that our eyes are fixed on him, that we walk behind him, that we follow him where he leads. And so Lent is a time to examine our hearts, our lives, and to ask God where we are being led this year. How are we being called to change and grow? It's a time to ask how God desires to transform and even transfigure us so that we more faithfully walk in the paths of holiness. As I said earlier, Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and during the liturgy that day, we will be invited to keep a Holy Lent. And the Book of Common Prayer invites us to keep this season in very particular ways, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. As we move towards Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, I invite you to take some time to contemplate and discern how God may be calling you to keep a holy Lent this year. What practices and activities distract us from following Jesus? What are we being called to let go of or to give up for these 40 days so we can be open to God in new ways? What is God calling us to take on and do that will deepen our relationship with God and our neighbor, deepen our relationship with ourselves and creation? Jesus desires to share his divine life with us until we glow with the radiance of his transfigured glory. We are called to be radiant with the light of Christ so that we can reflect that light to other people. And we are called to reorient our lives to God so that we walk in God's ways and everyone will see in us the glory of God, even now, in this time. This miraculous event we hear about in the Gospel today is called the Transfiguration, and usually we talk about that as Jesus is transfigured. But I wonder if that's the full story. I can't help but think the apostles are also transfigured by this experience. Jesus doesn't so much change on this mountain as his disciples are allowed to see him more fully. They are granted a vision of what is to come. They are glimpsing eternity, seeing divine reality. They are allowed, if only briefly, to see Jesus as he is. And through this experience, there's no question they are changed. They are transformed. They are able to leave that mountain, to walk with Jesus to Jerusalem. They don't do that perfectly. They don't do it always understanding. But they do it. And at the final hour of his earthly life, they drift away from Jesus, most of them, while he suffers on the cross. But they come back. And they don't abandon him forever. After Jesus is raised, they begin to understand what they saw that day on the mountaintop, and they are fully transformed by it. After his death and resurrection, after the descent of the Holy Spirit, they are able to leave behind their confusion, to let go of their fear. Filled with the light of Jesus, they go out into the world, and they do the very acts Jesus did. They teach and preach, they heal, they even raise the dead. And at the end, most of them give their lives as the ultimate witness to Jesus, being martyred. The transformation that those first followers experienced, we are called to experience. The life they lived is the same life to which we are called. We follow the same Jesus. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit. We are bathed in the same divine light. And so Jesus invites us to share his divine life, that same life that Peter, James, and John, and all those followers of Jesus from ages past shared. Jesus calls us to deep and intimate relationship with him, to become so like him that we glow with his radiance. And so may we answer his call, setting out on the journey before us, following Jesus in his way. May we use the gift of this coming season of Lent to strip away distractions so we clearly hear his call to us. And may we always follow Jesus, walking the way of the cross, that we receive the glory of the divine life that he lovingly desires to share with us. Amen.